first lesson, the seventh Sunday after Pentecost, is from the 18th chapter of Genesis. Then the Lord said, "How great is the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah, and how very great their sin. I must go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me, and if not, I will know." So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom, while Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham came near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not forgive it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will forgive the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." Again he spoke to him, "Suppose 40 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak. Suppose 30 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." He said, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak just once more. Suppose 10 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." The psalm this morning is Psalm 138. We will read this together.
I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted your name and your word above everything. On the day I called, you answered me. You increased my strength of soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. They shall sing of all of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he perceives from far away. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands.
The second lesson this morning is from the second chapter of Colossians. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human traditions, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in him, who is the head of every ruler and every authority. In him also you were circumcised with a spiritual circumcision, by pulling off the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. When you were buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and in uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him, when he forgave us all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us, with his legal demands, he set this aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in it. Here ends the reading.
Forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to the time of trial. And he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him in the middle of the night and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, do not bother me, the door has already been locked. My children are in bed with me, I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you anything because he is your friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, you will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if a child asks for an egg, you give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask for it? This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I'd like to invite any children who are here to come up and join me. On the steps. You brought your dogs. Nice. How exciting.
Silly putty?
Silly putty! Have you ever seen silly putty? It's super stretchy. Watch. Oh. I thought it was supposed to be really stretchy. Oh.
You were too strong.
I'm too strong? That never gets said. Thank you very much. How do you think I can make this stretch a little bit better? Let me try one more time, maybe if I pull harder. Maybe what if we started a little shorter, like 26 yards?
good, right? That's what, maybe here to the parking lot down there?
Or maybe the jailer, he's pretty little, so maybe him like 26 feet, right? And then maybe after you ran 26 yards, maybe you could run 30, and then 40, and then 50, and a little bit more, and a little bit more, right? And pretty soon, you're able to stretch a little further than you thought you were.
Whoa!
I know! And you know what? Our lives of faith are like that. What if I got up here and said, Genesee, I want you to stand up and preach the sermon for the next 10 minutes. Go. No, I don't want to. Yeah, but what if we try just a little bit at a time? So can you echo after me, repeat after me? Ready? Jesus loves you.
Jesus loves you.
You can run pretty fast, huh?
I can run 165 miles an hour.
165 miles an hour? That's really fast. But you had to work up to that, right?
Yeah.
You couldn't when you were little, right? You had to kind of work to get faster and faster and faster. Yeah. And that's kind of like everything in our lives. When you face something kind of big and scary, you don't have to take it all at once. But a little bit by little bit. Do things one at a time. That's a great idea. Exactly. All right. Thank you guys so much. You can head back to your seats. Please pray with me. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, each and every one of us have a mission, have a ministry, have a calling in this life. For some of us, it's very clear. For some of us, it's muddy. And for some of us, it's scary to stretch out in faith. But we pray, Lord, that you would prepare us, prepare our hearts, prepare our minds for the mission you have before us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So right now, this summer, I'm in physical therapy right now. I injured my hip. And so has anybody been to physical therapy for anything before? Yeah. You know what they do a lot with you?
Stretch.
Stretch you a little further than you think you can go.
It hurts.
And it hurts sometimes. Yeah. And I'm in this physical therapy, I think, like, I'm pretty flexible. You know, I'm like one of those, like, yeah, I got this covered. And then all of a sudden, the therapist will be like, let's try one more. And I realize, oh, I guess I need to be stretched a little bit further. And so all summer, I've been thinking a lot about how we stretch not just our bodies, but how we stretch our minds and stretch our souls. If any of you received the newsletter by email, I'm going to be talking a little bit about my article, so you can just take a nap or whatnot. Otherwise, look in it when you receive it after church today. But in my article, my newsletter article, I talk a little bit about when I met with my clergy coach. I have a clergy coach, kind of like a a coach for anything that you want to get better at. This is somebody who helps me with different strategies for ministry, for being a member of the clergy. And she asked me, she said, what is your favorite thing to do in ministry? Like, what's your one of your favorite things to see or participate in? And I said, one of my favorite things is when I see people stretch their ministry legs. I say, it's not necessarily that I did anything, but maybe I help facilitate an environment or a place or encourage them or kept them in prayer so that they said, you know what? I think I can do that. And I gave the example how this year we had two brand new Vacation Bible School directors who said, instead of looking at saying, no, that's too hard, they said, maybe I'll try. And they stretched out just a little bit further. And so as I was talking to her, I had this image in my head. I had this image in my head I wanted to share with you real quick. This is called petitza. Has anybody had this before? It's a pastry and it's rolled up. I always thought it was Italian because my Italian aunt makes it all the time, but apparently it's Slovenian. Who knew? Anyways, but it's this dough that comes as a lump of dough and you stretch it and stretch it and stretch it. I don't know if you can see these two people, that you stretch it so far, and when my aunt makes it, they stretch it, it hangs off the edge of the table. But just like that silly putty, you can't just like take it and roll it out. It's a slow process. Look at the two hands of these adults under here. There's actually a third person on the edge, and they're all kind of slowly stretching it out. Kind of like in physical therapy, you have to take your time and stretch. Kind of like in ministry, you have to take your time and stretch. Kind of like when making petitza, you have to take your time and stretch. So what would it look like if we stretched? How would we even get started in that? Well, first thing I thought is we could pray about it. And then lo and behold, that's our gospel lesson for today. And just so you know, I was sitting next to Vicar Maria when Dave's video, which I had not seen, started. And I said, holy cow, this is my sermon. I didn't say cow, I said another word, but I said, holy cow, this is my sermon. This is what I'm talking about. I want to talk a little bit about the Lord's Prayer. I didn't have a good picture here, but this is Luther's Small Catechism. Martin Luther, who is a theologian, where we get the name Lutheran from, lived about 500 years ago. And he wrote this teeny tiny little book, and it has the Lord's Prayer, the Apostles' Creed, and the Ten Commandments in it. And each one of them, he explains each little petition and each little bit. And this tiny book, which is the basis of what we do confirmation on, was intended for parents to teach their children. It was intended to be an in-home tool. And so he breaks them down really easily. And I love kind of what happens with the Lord's Prayer. Because I was looking at the Lord's Prayer as described in our gospel lesson today. And if you were following along, it might sound a little different than we normally hear. The one that we often use is the one from the Gospel of Matthew. But in looking at Luke, it has these different parts that made me think, maybe this is, using Dave's word, a recipe for how we can stretch, our legs a little bit. That first petition, the second petition, your kingdom come. It says, your kingdom come, and I wonder, what does that look like? How do we make the kingdom of God come about? Maybe like the Good Samaritan, we pick up somebody on the side of the road who is injured. Pay for their care. Maybe like the friends who lowered their friend down through the roof, we give support for someone in need. But what does that kingdom look like? So often we think of the kingdom of God being off here, up there, over in heaven. But it is our job as Christians, as people of God, to bring the kingdom of God near. How about the next petition? And forgive us our sins as we forgive ourselves, as we forgive everyone indebted to us. Are we forgiving of our own sins? Are you forgiving of your own sins? Do you carry those around with you like a millstone around your neck? I'm seeing one nod. I don't know if you know this, but in our church we actually have this practice of individual confession and forgiveness. If you want to look at it, it's page 243 in the red hymnal. We have this practice called individual confession and forgiveness. It's a beautiful practice. And in my 10 years of ministry here, I've only used it once. I've only had one person come and ask to go through this. But it's a wonderful thing. There's a reason that we do confession and forgiveness at the beginning of worship, because we need to be reminded of that. Maybe we need to stretch ourselves to let go of that guilt and sin that God has already let go of. But what about that second part? For we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. Is there someone or some group or some demographic that you have not forgiven? Is there someone, some person, some group of people for whom you hold a grudge, for whom you label as unworthy of forgiveness? What would it look like if you gave that person or those people forgiveness? And what if that was your new normal? What if that was your starting place? Wouldn't that be a way to stretch your ministry legs? Or maybe even the very first petition in here, it says, Father, hallowed be your name. What if, in trying to stretch ourselves a little bit, we were more intentional about putting God in a place of reverence, of carving out time for God? What would that look like? I mean, you're all doing part of that. You're showing up here on Sunday morning, unless you have to work. Otherwise, you're carving out time to be here. But what if we are more intentional in our daily lives? This is actually what I'm stretching with right now, and I wanted to tell you a little bit about that. Again, if you've read my article, ignore it. So many of you know that we are coming up on our 60th anniversary. In January, we have our 60th anniversary. And one of the things that I've been thinking about is, how can we celebrate this? What can we do? What momentum can we as a congregation get to go towards that? One of the things that churches will often do is a capital campaign, like to raise funds for something. That's not necessarily something we need right now. So I wanted to stretch my mind a little bit. What else can we do? But I kept coming back to this idea of a capital campaign, and I really like the visuals of it. Because often what capital campaigns will have is, when they're talking about raising money for something, raising treasures for something, they'll have like a thermometer, right? Something like this. You know, for example, this is for the Agape House, which is a student ministry down at UCSD, down in San Diego. And they're raising money to provide affordable housing for students, a place that's affordable Christian housing for students. And so they're in the process of raising money. You can see they've got like a little chart that raises them along there. And I kind of like that. It's a graphic. It's something we can see. Or I found this other one on the internet, which happens to be some church that was adding like a steeple or something to their roof. And you see that thermometer that kind of builds up as it gets closer and closer and closer to wherever they're at. But it doesn't just have to be money. Here's one that I found. And keep in mind, my husband is a fifth grade teacher, and so I apologize to all other teachers who don't want to think about school yet. But something like this, which is a book chart. I don't know if you can see at the very top, it says, books we have read. My house is starting to look like this. And so I was thinking about it. What does it look like as we build up and build up and build up? And what I came up with was this. This jar, which I happen to have right here. So, as I mentioned, I was talking with my clergy coach, and I said, one of the things I love to do most is to help people stretch their ministry legs. And she says, great, why don't you make that your project for the 60th anniversary? I said, sure, how? She says, you know what to do. How do you help people stretch their legs? And I said, well, I don't know, I can pray for them. She goes, yeah. I said, well, yeah, but that's it. She goes, no, not that's it. That's exactly it. And so what I've taken on is my project, my way of stretching my ministry legs. Because as you remember last week, we had the story of Mary and Martha. I am very much so a Martha in that I like to do things for the Lord, but don't want to spend time sitting at his feet. I don't got time for that like Mary was. I want to get things done. So instead of me doing things, what I'm going to be doing throughout the next a little over a year is spending time each week lifting you all up as the people of God in this place, individually in prayer. And I'm going to carve time out of my schedule, out of my busyness doing ministry, to spend time in prayer for each and every one of you. To pray for and lift you up in a way that will stretch your ministry legs. So if you get a random call or email or postcard from me that says, how do you want to grow in your faith and what can I pray for? Don't think that I was just like, well, they haven't been in church in a while. This is a project I'm working on. I want to dedicate what I can pray for you with. What can I pray for you? And because we're visual people and we don't have a thermometer, I thought, well, this was actually something from Vicar Maria. I said, what if we get this glass jar? And each time one of us stretches our ministry legs, we add a glass to it. And bit by bit, we fill it up. Bit by bit, we get higher and higher and stretch further and further than we think we can. This past week, I had turned in my article, and our secretary, Lori Freeman, the day after she had put it together, she said, you'll be so proud of me. I stretched my ministry administrative legs. I said, what? Well, I was reading your article because I was putting it in. And here is what she did. She said, I was working and I was so frustrated, but I took a breath, took time, and I learned how to install the driver for this new printer that we've had sitting in the corner that hasn't been hooked up. And I said, can I share that story? Yep. Sometimes we think that it has to be a big, giant leap of faith. Sometimes we think that it has to be 13 years ago, deciding to be baptized as an adult. Sometimes we think it has to be something big, like becoming the directors of Vacation Bible School. But sometimes it can be a small step, stretching beyond what we think we're capable of. Like installing a printer driver so we can have a working printer in the office. There was another member of our church who shared a story last week. That's Margaret Roberts. Many of you know her. She's Jeffrey Roberts' mother. And she recently moved into a care home with a residential facility. And she's been kind of struggling back and forth and hasn't been able to be here at church very much. But she was here last Sunday, and so I talked with her a little bit. And I called her earlier this week to ask if I could share her story, and she said, you can do that as long as you tell the people of Emmanuel, thank you for praying for me. So I could put in like another 50 beans for all the prayers you've been giving. But Margaret told me this story, and I thought, what a great example of stretching her ministry legs. She's in this new facility. She can't get out. She can't drive. It's very easy to feel very down and very stuck. But Margaret told me that what she does is she takes a copy of this little booklet. It's called Christ in Our Home. We have copies on the circle table out there. It's a daily devotional. She has a copy of it. She says that each day she gathers the people in her home together. There's about, I don't know, six residents, and some of the staff people, gathers together, and she holds a daily devotion. And she gave each and every one of them those small metal crosses. And she was so excited. I talked to her yesterday or Friday, and she said, the last time we met, even one of the staff people came. Margaret, you're stretching your ministry legs. She also told me that, you know, you can only have so much Jesus, and so she's also reading Harry Potter to the group there. Which I figured was fine, providing a little fellowship. But I wanted to ask you, how will you stretch your ministry legs? What will you do? What do you need to be prayed for? What do you want encouragement for? Maybe it could be something seemingly small. Like today, we have a young 6-year-old man who he and his mother, for the first time, are going to be helping the ushers collect offering. That's me. You're right. That is you. Way to stretch your ministry legs. It doesn't take much. Maybe if each month, maybe it is in the giving that you do. Maybe each month you give regularly, but we have those second mile givings and you've just kind of thrown the envelopes away, forget about them. Maybe next month and the next month and the next month, you give a little of your offering towards that dedicated ministry. Maybe it has nothing to do with this church at all. Maybe you bring your elderly neighbor's newspaper into him or her each day, and instead of just dropping it off, what if you asked, is there anything you need done around the house? Or for those of you, how many times do you say, oh, I'm so sorry about that. Oh, you have that. I'll pray for you. And then as soon as you say that, it leaves your mind. How easy would it be to create a note on your phone or keep a little notebook near your phone or in your wallet to write down those names, to stretch those legs a little bit more? Because you see, what I want us to do is each time one of you stretches your ministry legs over the next year, I will celebrate. I'll have you put a stone in this jar, and then I'll ask you the question, great, what's next? Because it's always about stretching a little bit further. So each week, we have stones that are sitting out on that round table. Each week, I encourage you to think about how you can stretch a little bit. If you've stretched, if you've gone out of your way for God's glory just a little bit during that week, take a stone, put it in this glass jar, it'll be up on our altar. Do it a little bit, and a little bit, and a little bit, and we will see just how far we can spread God's glory. So how will you stretch? How can I pray for you? And how can this church encourage you to see what God can make use of you for? So may the God of all creation stretch you in your life of ministry. Amen. Amen.